Incoming transmission. Good morning, good morning. This is Tanuki Ranch, and just like you, I'm trying to unpack the enigma that is Altered State Machine. The goal of this recording is to help the community get caught up with everything ASM related. Just think of it as a quick, unofficial recap that you can listen to while making your coffee. These recordings are entirely for the community, so hit me up on Twitter or in the Discord and let me know what you'd like to hear next. You can also head to the anchor.fm site and leave me a voice recording. Today I sat down with Agent 8, another rock star of the community. He's amazing at helping welcome new members of the community and directing their attention to the most important big picture areas of the project. We just talked about the project as a whole and speculated on the great unboxing, some strategies around that, and went beyond looking into the future. I'd encourage everyone to find him in the Discord and say hello. He's such a great resource for the community. As a reminder, we're simply discussing topics previously addressed by the team. This is in no way meant to be financial advice. Do your own research and don't make choices just because my summary or interpretation was inaccurate. Are you ready? Suspend disbelief with me and try to keep up. Here we go. All right, awesome. Agent 8, you still with me?
Yep, still here.
Hey, so yeah, pumped to be talking with you as you're one of the rock stars in the Discord. So first, thanks for everything that you do and everything that you contribute to on behalf of the community. It's such awesome work to see.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to be here. Obviously feel the same about your work. I've listened to every single one of your podcasts. So
That's great.
I look forward to helping you and continuing to consume what you're putting out there.
Yeah, you know, I get the feeling that we're starting to build like a true community, you know, between all of the people that are more active and not just kind of in it to move something from like 0.5 ETH to 1.5 ETH and then kind of get out to the next thing. So I'm excited to get more people together, and I'm sure we're going to have some really, you know, rich conversations as essentially business partners going forward. So it's exciting stuff. Can we start by just introducing yourself? Maybe I know I introduced you as Agent 8. Is that the handle or metaverse identity that you prefer to go with? And then maybe a little bit about how you got involved with ASM to start.
Yeah. Agent 8 is what I've been using. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of how I got involved in the metaverse, I've been in crypto, I guess, since the end of 2019, beginning of 2020.
Okay.
And I've taken a very hands-on approach. So mm-hmm. I'm someone who likes to get into the weeds and really understand things before I get involved, especially with crypto, right? Because there's so many. You got to get past all the Bitcoin scams, you know, stealing, et cetera, just to start.
It's a field of landmines.
Yeah. So I was definitely very focused on, when I started getting involved, understanding every little nuance before I put too much money into any particular project. And so I've definitely spent a ton of money on fees and lost a ton of brain damage going through various protocols, which ended up in many cases really it's been helpful because you get a great landscape. And there's a lot of stuff out there. You're like, I would never use this. This makes no sense. And I also gives you appreciation that we're definitely still very early because
from
a decentralized perspective, the interface and many of these things is just really not there because they're solving for something else. The decentralization, et cetera, the regulatory arbitrage, the governance, and not just the straight user interface. So I'm out there plugging away, trying a lot of new things all the time. Mm-hmm. Consuming a lot of podcasts, as I highlighted with yours.
Yeah.
And I came across ASM through the Delphi podcast. And I mean, I do a lot of I'm a big walker. And so I listen, that's why I listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
And the podcast with Delphi with the ASM guys was really unique, I thought. First of all,
I agree.
Tom Shaughnessy. Tom, I've never heard him so, you know, he seems stumped all the time.
Right? Yeah.
Like he was asking, like, you know, it's the typical questions. Hey, where did you come from?
Right.
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 How'd you get there? So cool. Right. It's the same thing. I mean, all these people are amazing. Right.
But yeah. Yeah.
He was legitimately asking questions. He's like, wait, hold on. Right. Can we go back? You know?
It's so funny you mentioned that, and I don't want to derail your train of thought, but I also, one of the main ways that I found out was through Tom Shaughnessy's Delphi Digital podcast. And I was so compelled by the way that he brings like some of these marquee people into the frame that I pinged him directly on Twitter. And I was like, your ability to just ask questions in like an inquisitive way is like no other. So thank you for being a curious, like a student, you know, an ever learning student. I totally hear what you're saying.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. But you know, he knows so much about the space. Normally it's really a process, I feel, to take what he knows and kind of set it up for whoever he's having on the podcast to kind of bring it to the community, which is definitely what he was trying to do for ASM. But I really felt during the podcast, he was trying to figure it out himself, which I thought was so different. So it was the only podcast, I think, to this day that I have ever listened to more than once. Because I was like, I had to, like, it took a couple of times to go through. I'm like, this is really, can there's this layers. Really be real what they're saying? Yeah, I mean, like, it feels like, are they giving brains to NFTs? Like, what the hell is that?
Right. And I'm trying to think back. So that particular interview with Delphi, it seemed like they really focused on the protocol and the notion of owning AI was kind of the central topic. And then they also mentioned AIFA. So I guess through that lens, did you initially find, when after you listened to that a couple of times, did you go to the ASM website and just start to unpack it? Did you find AIFA more appealing, or the brain and the protocol aspect of things more appealing? What drew you to the project from there?
Well, I got to tell you, it kind of checks every single box for me. The game itself, the structure of the game, the NFT, the people involved, and then the broader scope, right? In terms of what they actually want to do, which is to really, they're totally right, I think, with how centralized people are controlling AI, and that's dangerous. And we need a way to get the power of machine learning into the hands of the people, right, in a more distributed fashion. So not only is it just the actual approach and it looks super fun, the game looks great, but also if it works, what impact it could have. I felt like everything checks that box. So what ended up happening with me is, like, I just had this incredible thirst, and this is actually how I became a moderator, is because I can't get enough of trying, like, the rabbit hole here is so interesting that I basically ran out of things, right? Because it hasn't launched yet. And then I found myself, because of the time zone, it'd be a lot of the feedback and the discussion was happening while I was asleep, right? Because they're based in New Zealand or California, etc.
I'm in the same boat.
So I was going in there, and like, it was like, it wasn't a lot going on, and I wasn't able to have anybody talk to me.
Yeah.
So I actually just went to Nova, and I sent her a message, or it was David, I think. And I was like, do you guys need help with people? Cause if someone needs to, I'll just go in there. I'm happy. I'm desperate to talk to people about this.
Right.
And they're like, you're right. We do have a problem with the time zone. So that's how it actually came about.
Very cool.
So, I mean, it's really, I'm so excited for the things to really accelerate here and really start to get our hands dirty on the mechanism design, in terms of how we're going to farm the brains, in terms of where we can really start to get deeper and actually use the product here. What is it, on Sunday, I guess?
The 5th.
A couple of days in advance. Yeah, because it's really just, it's almost, a lot of people in the chat it's also unique in the chat, right? Because you go in there, I mean, I'm sure you're in tons of chats, and I've whittled down my Discord to some core ones now, but still.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows for sure.
Yeah, but the context of, like, people are like, wow, mind blown. I mean, this is so unique. I mean, just the context of the comments are so different. And frankly, I also think the team is really, it feels organic. It doesn't feel totally plugged at all. Like, they're definitely going about it the right way, which, just like I said, they really just feel like they're clicking on all cylinders for everything that I'm you know, everything that I found is important and what I want to be doing in,
right.
in crypto.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. And you know, that passion that you're describing definitely shows itself as you're interacting with some of the new people. You know, you've been fantastic at helping people just kind of dipping their toe in the water and learning about the project, you know, addressing their common, I guess, initial FAQ questions. But then it's really clear that, you know, you're redirecting their attention to like the bigger picture or like the training aspect of the brains. And it sounds like you've got some thoughts on training and really what comes next after the unboxing. Have you thought much about your training strategy, or are you just going to kind of let it happen organically and then react to the parameters that we're given?
Yeah. So my thought on that is, and we, you know, before we jumped on this, I had mentioned, you know, unfortunately, I'm just not by nature a creative person. So
yeah,
like I have a fluff, it's super cool and stuff, but I just know, I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm trying to, you know, is there other people going to like this NFT or this art? Like it's definitely never come to me for my opinion, because I don't know anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, but in terms of playing games, et cetera, and kind of token economics and how to kind of have an ecosystem, like that's right in my lane and things I mm-hmm. love to do. And, you know, my approach is I think the training dynamic is I want to train my NFTs as much as humanly possible.
Right? Okay.
Really want to take, I have six total brains.
Okay.
And I have NFTs, you know, I don't really know how it's going to come together, but
yeah.
My focus is really, I think that the utility here is really could be game changing, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, someone like myself who, you know, I have kids, I've got a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I could never be a play to earn person who sits there and plays, you know, hours on end.
We're not going to find you streaming on Twitch, it sounds like.
No.
Yeah.
No, you know, unfortunately, no. Even though it looks super fun.
Right.
And my kids do that. And these guys, a lot of them are really funny when you watch them.
Yeah.
But no. So for me, I want to sit there and see how much I can push the envelope. I want my teams and my agents to be excellent. Mm-hmm. I want to see what mm-hmm. I really want to test and push the envelope of what this thing can do.
Yeah.
Including, you know, I'm definitely in the GPU mining chat, including, you know, exploring as soon as possible how we can provide the GPU capacity for the gyms as well. I mean, really pushing how and see that works. I mean, in my mind, like taking mm-hmm. the vision of the team, I'm competitive. I actually want to see if I could try to win some of the AFA
yeah.
matches. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I want to see that. And then I also want to be able, we don't really know, but my sense is they make a lot of comments about being able to then port this brain to many different protocols or games, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. I want to take this, whatever is built, and I can't wait to see how this could work, but then go into a sandbox or another game,
right?
And then take this highly skilled agent and then put them out into the universe, right? So
yeah,
you know, and the ability to farm them just strikes me that if that's actually, you're able to do that, I mean, it really feels like you have some, you can create an army of AI, I don't even know what you'd call them, agents,
right.
I guess,
yeah,
that mm-hmm. are out there working for you in the metaverse, which, as we know, I'm not breaking new territory. When Facebook changes their name to Meta, I think it's pretty, I think, you know, they know what's yeah. going on. I'm pretty sure that's where things are going.
There are some macro trends that are emerging for sure. It's super exciting to think about. And, you know, so much of it right now is just, I know you said you're not a creative person, but you know, it's clear that your imagination is running wild in terms of, okay, what's my next move going to be here? I remember seeing you mention one time in the Discord, you said hard work beats talent. And I didn't know if that was a reference to what you might expect to roll in the genome matrix when, you know, when we get a sense for where our Genesis brain strengths or weaknesses, you know, are going to be. So it sounds like spending time you know, thinking about the gym activity and the training is really going to put you in good standing in the arena. So I'm nervous to be matched up against you if my agents are trained up enough.
All right. Well, I think it was actually, that was in response to someone who was like, oh, I only have one box.
Yeah.
And the quote is actually for, no one knows this person unless you're into, you're American and know football, but mm-hmm. it's Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, is the actual quote.
Gotcha.
And so Tim Tebow, if you're familiar with American football at all, mm-hmm. you know, definitely performed way above his talent set. Like he wasn't an exceptionally good passer by any stretch mm-hmm. of imagination, but obviously got drafted in the first round, won some national championships, and was just really through intense hard work. So that's a great video that I always, my kids get tired of me showing it to them.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to highlight to the person is that this is, you only need one box, right? Mm-hmm. If you're good, like it's not going to be, my understanding is a lot of the rarity traits are kind of aesthetics. Mm-hmm. The actual performance is there shouldn't be, if I understand correctly, mm-hmm. at zero, we're all going to be at the same place from a performance perspective.
Right.
And it's only going to be limiting your ability to guide your agent through training. And then you'll have to see how tokenomics work in terms of what the costs are mm-hmm. to develop new brains. But if you have a Genesis brain, you're going to be able to have at least one agent, and we know that by the time the first quarter comes around when AFE is released, mm-hmm. you're going to have four brains, right? So you can kind of get an idea of the speed at which you'll be able to get more brains. But
yeah.
all of those will then be able to be valuable and maybe immensely valuable. So you don't need tons of boxes, is my point. That's the part of my excitement about the thing. It's really going to be what you do with it.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think it's a good call out and, kind of like a pinch yourself moment because, that person was concerned that they missed the boat. They only were able to afford one box. But if you fast forward, I mean, this person's talking about one Genesis box. So we're early, it's not like, oh, I missed it. I only have one box. Like people are going to look back on this time and be like, wow, you got a box. That's amazing. And the notion of a level playing field, like you were describing, I think David and Aaron have been really clear in that the importance of that, given the randomness that the minting event, when that occurred, the four rarity types were done randomly so that there weren't whales, able to get a leg up, at least in that initial minting event. And then, I think that's their thoughts around the Asto airdrop is they recognize that, the population right now isn't large enough. It's going to need to increase fourfold in order for the game to commence. So, giving us a head start with the Asto airdrop, I think is the design behind that.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah. So, So I think all that stuff is really going to be interesting and definitely, as we started out, take it to another level in terms of being able to really get, have things to mess around with and game out.
Yeah.
That's all going to start, I guess, in very shortly.
I know. Part of me was relieved when I saw that the unboxing was delayed by a couple of days because it gives you more time to like gather your thoughts and think about, how you're going to approach the day. The other part is like, well, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get this thing started, So I'm kind of in two minds, but I know people that have more than one box are really trying to take a methodical approach to, the great unboxing.
Yeah. How are you thinking about doing that? Cause that's one, this is one where, in terms of coordinating them and matching them up, I wonder if it's going to take me ages to come to conclusion about, in terms of how, I guess it's definitely going to cost. You get the one-time opportunity to, mm-hmm. to create your players. And then you get that, the gas cost, I guess. But in terms of changing things up afterwards, that's where I'm like, oh man, how am I going to decide?
Right. I know it's tough. The way that I see it, and again, this is just purely personal speculation, just kind of listening to what the team has talked about over the past, you know, few weeks. They're going to make it an easy onboarding experience, regardless of your level of creativity or, you know, your, I guess, attention to detail. So no matter what, like you could close your eyes and throw, you know, things at a dartboard. And I'm sure that the NFT that you configure is going to be really badass looking, you know, like you just can't go wrong based off of the guardrails that they put in place. So that's number one. Number two is this notion of locking the configuration. And I think that's going to be a little bit trickier in terms of like committing to something, not given the aesthetics, you know, no matter what, that's going to look great. And there's a 500 million combinations that you can derive. But where I think it is going to get a little trickier is with things like, you know, if you get accessories or you get lucky with the hobbies and trying to figure out what is a, you know, like holistic approach to that. So, you know, do you have one theme going, or are you going to get one guy and then hope to trade in the secondary market to build up a team of all, I don't know, you know, Egyptian theme or something like that? I have no idea what that's going to look like, but I think that those little like accessory details are going to be the thing that takes people a little bit more time to wrap their head around and commit to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's why I was even asking the question, because I can already foresee the challenge in my own mind about how I approach that.
And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was it. I was just going to say, I'm hoping, I'm cautiously optimistic that, because I know I want to, it'll be tough to resist not just opening everything up and just doing it. A video of some kind, or I'm sure they probably will
totally
give you a sense that would be amazing.
I feel like with every major milestone or alpha leak, you know, we get all excited, and then behind the scenes, like Carmen and Nova are just like, "Oh, great, more homework. Here we go. We've got to create another infographic. There goes my Saturday." So the other thing that I don't think people are really focused on, you know, everyone's thinking about the configuration and the aesthetics of the characters and all of those kind of, you know, traits that we can lock in. But one of the things that I don't really hear people talking about yet is the brain attributes themselves. And that's something that I'm going to have to, you know, do a little bit of homework on, is this notion of the genome matrix and what constitutes the attributes of the brain. Because equally important, obviously we don't, you know, training is the only way that we get to influence how the brain functions. It's not like we're going to be configuring, you know, pinks and greens of the brain, and that's kind of our aesthetic. But putting together a team or figuring out how to train that brain so that your team is, you know, put together in a holistic manner, I think that's going to be the next major focal area for the community to talk about. And I have no clue what that entails. I think, you know, David alluded to some discovery mechanisms that we're all going to be participating in real time. I would see that's going to be the major area of Discord conversation, is how do we, you know that we need to match a brain with this particular brain, or how do I trade my brain for another brain that gives me the attributes that I need for an effective AFA team, you know?
Yeah, that is definitely the bottomless pit there. I mean, that's where to go into. You can imagine, right? Because I've messed around with Unity a bit. I'm definitely prepping on that front. I think ultimately I might need to bring in people to assist, depending on the initial interface. I know the initial interface is going to be designed to be user friendly, but you know, at some point they'll have to take the training wheels off. At least that's the plan. So then you'll be able to kind of go deeper. But yeah, I mean, the iterations on the various traits that could go into what the brain can do in the genomics, or in theory, is only going to be limited by what they choose to limit us on.
So
ultimately it sounds like they're going to take most of the guardrails off, and so yeah, the number of iterations will be seemingly limitless. So that's going to be the interesting thing. Might be how will the communication in the community work if from a competitive dynamic, right? So there's obviously going to be the chance, and I guess this would be how much weighting AFA has in terms of how much you can win and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But But right, so if you figured something out as how to match these different genomes together to get an optimized team, do you share that with everyone, or is it more beneficial
to keep
it to yourself?
There's definitely going to be some frenemy things emerging, I'm sure, within the community, you know, some constructive tension, I guess we could call it. And in part, you know, that's your strategy around training. That could be, you know, your configuration approach. I know they've alluded to like what you're describing here, which is ability to participate in a particular arena or tournament based off of the characteristics of your character, you know, what your characters have, what the team makeup looks like, the level at which you've trained your brain. So is it, you know, have you spent a ton of time in the gym and invested into the brain heavily, or are you just kind of, you know, taking a leisure stroll around the block? And I think they're trying to match that up so that the competitive environment is conducive to having a good experience, and also rewarding those that have, you know, taken their Asto airdrop and done something active with it. I know there's so many variables that are unknown, but my knee-jerk reaction to the Asto airdrop news is that I'm going to immediately deploy all of those tokens toward training. And it sounds like you're on the same page as well, or maybe I'm mistaken, but that's my initial thought, which is let's reinvest that rather than, you know, setting it aside and holding it to see what the actual tokenomics do from a people that don't own a brain, you know, like they may just want to invest into the tokens that way.
Yeah, I know. I put that in the chat, in the Discord, I think some point last week, because since it's gotten closer, I mean, the chat has definitely transitioned to airdrop, win, airdrop, win, airdrop, win, airdrop. You know, the constant airdrop, which is what you expect. But, you know, the thing is that it could create an interesting question, because I think long term, it would be a strategic advantage to invest the Asto in your training, because I think you'll be able to create assets that work for you, like machine learning, computers, that artificial intelligence that can generate income for you,
right,
while you're hanging out on the beach, right? That's yeah. I think that's the highest, in my mind, that's an investment play that, if it's done right, can really be an evergreen source of income, which is vastly superior than the initial flip. But it is crypto, right? And I do enjoy spending time on that beach. You know, I still have to get there somehow.
You gotta get to the beach.
So you need the cash. And, you know, if there's a scenario, it could be a conundrum, right? If you have a scenario to where, and you never know, this, you know, gets a lot of huge following, and say, you know, it just moons the Asto token, which would be great, right? What if it becomes too valuable, just the prospect of it, to not use it to train? Like, that's one thing I wonder how that dynamic might work. I mean, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
But it's a curious one for me.
I totally hear what you're saying. And again, I'm a newbie in all aspects of this, whether it's crypto, you know, play to earn gaming, all of that stuff. And so I hate to keep referencing Axie Infinity, but just using that as a precursor, especially given the relationship to Delphi Digital, you know, I'm sure that's what they're paying attention to as they design the tokenomic model. You know, Axie went through the same evolution where they had this kind of early, you know, small group of OGs who were gamers by heart and, you know, crypto enthusiasts for a long time. And so that intersection just made a whole lot of sense. You know, the notion of owning your gaming assets and them growing in value as you invest in them. And anyway, long story short, I think with the help of Delphi, they have a similar token mechanism that you are essentially buying and investing in order to expand your group of players in Axie Infinity, you know. So the breeding mechanism, they have the AXS token. And the reason that I share this is because, you know, from the start, that token started well below a dollar, you know, when people were starting to play and, you know, pay these tokens to breed. And now I think it's hovering in like the $135 range last I checked. So that is very much like a linear scale or linear correlation between the cost of the underlying token and the expected output of value that you're going to receive by paying that token. So I'm really curious to see how that unfolds in our space with ASM, but I'm sure it's something that they're thinking about, which is just making sure that participation is always going to garner an ROI, you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. And also remember, it's going to be a DAO. So yep. there might be a governance token that hopefully captures that economic value. And then the token itself, right? There's the AXS token, I guess the SOP, I guess is actually, mm-hmm. I've never mm-hmm. really used it, right? So I think one is supposed to be the transactional one that keeps yeah. it functional. But that's also been volatile as well. I know that recently, mm-hmm. again, I'm not involved in it, but I do know that it's come down a bit as yep. more people have come into the game. So it's taken some of the economics out of it, kind of a victim right. of its own success. The DAO dynamic is also going to be interesting. I mean, that's, you know, it's almost like we need more time to rest up because there'll be so many things. You have the DAO yeah. dynamic, the voting, right? The yep. training, the NFT, you know, you'll be watching. I also think it'll be interesting to watch what it looks like to watch the games.
Right.
Right. They yeah. talk about, you know, you can see them play. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not, you know, we need it to, go up as much as humanly possible because we won't have time to do anything else.
Right. Or even non-humanly possible. It was floating there. I couldn't resist. Sorry.
Exactly.
I want to be mindful of your time. I know we may just have a minute or two left here. Is there a particular topic that you're just dying to talk about? Do you feel like this is a good first chapter for us and we'll get some more people back together down the road, or what's top of mind for you?
No, look, I think this is great. I actually, these things are really helpful because as you can tell, I suspect, and just how we even got into this, and I think you have a similar experience, like once you get a certain level of knowledge about ASM, it's it's so interesting. You just always want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. At least I do. Yep. But you can't, it's also sufficiently complex that you can't just talk about it with just some random third person.
Right.
You know, they need some time to get like, what are you talking about? Brain and NFT. Like my wife, I've brought this up. She just looks at me like, two heads. Like, what are
right,
you talking
right.
about?
I'm in the same boat. Yep.
So any of these conversations with fellow knowledgeable ASM community members is definitely very, very warmly received because mm-hmm. it's just so much fun to go through this stuff and try to think about what this thing can be.
Yeah.
And to try to make money off it at the same time is really feels like a true gift and blessing that it even exists.
It's such a good point. I mean, you know, if you look at the community spirit that you and the other mods are fostering, you know, yes, there may be an economic question initially, but it's clear that people are in it for more than just, you know, earning a quick buck. So thanks for endeavoring to that amongst all of the other things that you've got going on in life, and really appreciate you carving out some time this afternoon to connect with me amongst all of that other activity. It's much appreciated. And I hope we get to get the gang back together and have some more brainstorming sessions.
Definitely. Dan, thanks for the invite here. And for sure, your podcast, for anyone who's looking to get up to speed quickly, and there's a lot to get up to speed on. And I do think it's helpful to kind of see how the project has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. As much as I like to listen to a podcast at 2x speed, it sometimes can be difficult to catch everything.
Yeah.
So your podcasts are really amazing in their efficiency. You capture all the right things. And so keep doing what you're doing because you're an amazing asset to the community.
I appreciate the endorsement. It means a whole lot coming from you. So thank you so much. I'll try my best to live up to it. Well, Agent 8, thanks again for your time, and I'm really looking forward to our next conversation.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
And good luck with the great unboxing if we don't talk before then.
Same to you.
All right. Take care.
Okay, that's a wrap for the interview with Agent 8. How great is he? I'm calling it now. Be careful when facing him in the arena. You just know that he's going to have his agents trained to the max. I'm eager to set up another discussion once things are in motion and really pick his brain on the tokenomics, on gym training, and all the things that we're going to need to learn about. Until then, have a great week and good luck during the great unboxing on December 5th.